Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasting from sunny, windswept, beautiful Southern California. Hope you're having a great day. Got some changes in the Big Apple, and I think we can see why. We'll get to what I saw last night on Monday Night Football, what's happened earlier today, and a reaction to it. Let me first, I'll talk about the Matt Nagy thing in 20 minutes. I just want you to know, like, again, I'm not pointing out multiple sources. Okay. There was one report that Matt Nagy would be let go after the Thanksgiving Day game. Okay. Now remember, this is one report, and I'll tell you how I think you should look at that upcoming. Okay. It's a Patch.com report, a top source. Now, that doesn't mean that Patch, you guys know what Patch is? Do you guys have this? Do you guys follow Patch? So everybody's neighborhood has like a Patch. It's like a local paper, but online sort of thing. And it aggregates other stories. But there's a Patch.com report. I have spoken to a high-ranking Bears official, and he said in the building, there's no discussion of the kind. Now, what happens in these things quite often is they kind of take on a life of their own, and it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Self-fulfilling prophecy where, you know, you say a guy's going to be fired enough. They start chanting at a Bulls game where, by the way, the Bulls were embarrassed last night by the Pacers, and the fans are cheering fire Nagy. It doesn't mean that Matt Nagy survives at the end of the year for next year or even the season. I'm telling you, as of the moment, I spoke to a high-ranking Bears official who said nothing of the kind has been discussed based upon anybody he's talked to or things he knows. So there you go. All right, we'll come back to that in a second. Let me start with this. Last night, the Giants were blown out. It was 27-10. Did anybody have the Giants last night? Jay Stu, I think you and Ramos may have taken the Giants only because the points were 11, right?
Exactly right. Yep.
Okay. Remind me of what I know. I had the Buccaneers, as did Beyer. Did I say out loud in my big boy voice, I want the Buccaneers and the under, or was that my little boy voice?
I don't know, John. Did we have something prepared for this moment?
I think I remember.
Get everybody on message.
And now.
A ticker tape parade? Like what?
I told you so.
Why? Because he had talent.
Finally nailed it, Gottlieb. Okay, so let's take a listen. Beyer, who do you like tonight? It's a big, big, big spread. Big, big line.
Give me the Buccaneers. Yeah, to cover the double-digit spread.
I'm with Dan Beyer on this one. I don't think it'll be competitive. I'm going to take Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I never said the under at the end. I didn't. Okay, if I didn't.
It was subliminal.
I think that might have been my Bet Rivers pick that I put out on social, but that's okay. I'll take the one. I needed the one that puts me over 500 for the week, right? Because I was 3-3 with
exactly.
My bonus pick.
Yep.
That makes me 4-3. Okay. Well, then you like looks. We're making money here for you. We're making money for you. Joe Judge, I thought, did a good job of summing up the loss. He's the head coach of the Giants. Take a listen.
Generally speaking, you know, we have to do everything better. We didn't do anything really well enough to win the game tonight. Can't make mistakes with turnovers, penalties, or mental errors. We've got to make sure we put our players in a better position through coaching. Got to make sure we have the opportunity to make plays.
Okay, here's what Judge said about their offense.
You have to still have faith in Jason Garrett as your offensive coordinator.
I have faith in all the people on our team. Players, coach, everything. But, you know, look, we'll assess everything as a team, make any move we need to going forward. I'm not going to go into that right now.
Well, he did go into it today because he fired Jason Garrett. And while that may seem knee-jerky, I think, you know, when you get to this point in the season where now we're questioning whether or not Daniel Jones will be the quarterback next year, they're not going to pick up. I don't see them picking up his fifth-year option. Dave Gettleman's job is very much on the line. Joe Judge's job is on the line. But the offense, and has been pointed out, some of the play calling wasn't great. The blocking wasn't great. The execution wasn't great. And if you're bad in all three, or you're not at the right level in any of those three areas, you might struggle. In all three of those areas, you are going to struggle. And that's exactly what happened. And they fired Jason Garrett. Look, there's a lot of things I don't know, right? Like, it's really hard to tell on the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, are they really back to being elite? I know they played well and held the Cowboys to 9 points, but am I to believe that, you know, the previous wins over, and it's funny, like, I heard Nick Wright talk about Tampa last year and echo my sentiments, which was Tampa's last four games of the regular season last year were against three terrible teams. So that's how they got it going before the playoffs, and then they survived the Washington football team. They were fortunate Jared Cook fumbled to beat the Saints, and then they got out to a big lead and held on for dear life against the Packers and beat up on a depleted Kansas City Chiefs team. The Chiefs played three joke games. You know, Raiders been depleted, Giants are a mess, and the Packers didn't have Aaron Rodgers, as well as Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I believe, was that Lazard that was out that game as well. And then they beat the Cowboys, and I think Dak played well. So I don't know in the AFC what's the matter with Buffalo. Will Tennessee get Derrick Henry back? Can the Chargers really play? Like, is Baltimore any good? They've had some weird performances. In terms of the top of the AFC, I don't know. The top of the NFC, like, I actually think the Niners will be in there. I think we have other teams. Who's the best at that? There's a debatable topics in there. It's not debatable that the Giants stink and that all of the plans of Gettleman to this point appear to be for naught. He wanted to rebuild the offensive line, build from the inside out first. The offensive line is not good enough. Saquon Barkley before the injury wasn't as dynamic as he needed to be, considering how highly he was drafted, and afterwards even more so. And then Daniel Jones, who's his signature piece at quarterback, is kind of just a guy. Completely and utterly forgettable performances after performance after performance after performance. I don't know who's great, but I know who's not good, and that's the New York Giants. And it's amazing because the Giants feel like, you know, they haven't had the historic, consistent history of success of the Lakers, but it does feel a little bit Laker-ish, where, remember, the Lakers at the end of the Kobe Bryant era, and then after Kobe retired, and that was the five worst years in Laker basketball. That's where we are with the Giants. This is a consistently competitive team during the time of Eli Manning and previous to that. They've always been around and been good and been a playoff caliber team, and they've won more than their share of Super Bowls, and they've competed in the playoffs, and now when they drafted Saquon Barkley, the thinking about drafting a quarterback was, take a quarterback now, the Giants won't be in the top five ever again or in the recent history, and now they're kind of headed that way. The other part to it that's a kind of a buyer beware is not just the Daniel Jones draft, okay, but the Saquon Barkley draft, considering all the things that took place. Saquon Barkley was taken, the 2018 draft, right? And so that was the year that everybody said, hey, you should take a quarterback. Now, remember, Baker Mayfield was off the board. Sam Darnold was behind him. I would have taken Sam Darnold. Remember, the Jets traded up or even trade down with the Jets to get all those picks. Josh Allen went 7th. Josh Rosen went 10th. He's been a bust. He's out of the league. Lamar Jackson went 32nd. Can you imagine Lamar Jackson in New York, by the way? Just a thought to whet your appetite. But this is the buyer beware for this year. That year was a great quarterback year. The next year, Kyler Murray went 1 overall. The Giants decided to stay at 6 and drafted Daniel Jones. Okay, Dwayne Haskins was the 3rd quarterback taken. He's on his way out of the league. Drew Locke was in the 2nd round. He's on his way out of the league as well. Right? So sometimes you get those high picks, and there's not a lot of quarterbacks available. Will Greer, by the way, was, I think, the 4th quarterback taken, and he's a backup as well. Ryan Finley started a couple games. Jared Stidham, of course, famously in New England. Like, these are the quarterbacks that year. It wasn't a good quarterback season. So this year we have apparently a draft that is like the 2019 draft. And what do the Eagles do? What do the Giants do? What do these, some of these quarterback needy franchises do? But I don't know everything about the NFL. I don't sit here and profess just because I pick games really well this year or I talk to a bunch of people to know exactly who the best of the best is, because sometimes it's hard to tell. The Titans, even without Derrick Henry, shouldn't be losing to, you know, one of the worst teams in football in the Houston Texans, but they did. You know, the Baltimore Ravens shouldn't have some of the, with Lamar Jackson against the Dolphins, they shouldn't have that poor performance, but they did. So I don't know who the best is, but I can tell you the Giants aren't one of them. And that every part that Gettleman's tried to rebuild, offensive line, running back, obviously some of that's injury, and quarterback and defense, has been an abject failure. Not for lack of trying, not for not having good sound logic, but it just has not worked. And the first head to fall was Jason Garrett, who was fired earlier today. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. That's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. All right. There was a report that Matt Nagy was informed he will be fired after the Thanksgiving Day game. He responded to that report. You'll hear exactly what the head coach of the Bears had to say.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Question for you, Jason Stewart.
Yes.
So the weather in California, I don't know where you are. Like, I sleep really good when it's cold outside. Really, really good. And, you know, I pile on the blankets. I get, you know, snuggled up in there. And then, you know, in other parts of the country, you're starting to get, you know, fall into winter season. In California, we're kind of all over the map. Usually now it's been pretty cool, and it was cold last week. California cold. Last couple of days, we've had a bit of a heat wave. We have the Santa Ana winds. As winds come out the desert, then it gets really dry. And sometimes it gets hot. It's hot now. So it's in the high 70s into 80s in some places. How do you sleep in this weather? It's cool at night. How'd you sleep?
I sleep like a baby. It's been in the like late 40s, I think, overnight where I'm sleeping.
High 40s, late 40s.
Late 40s, yeah, you're right. but I'm one of those guys, I think what you're describing is, I love the cold. I don't like being cold. So I do sleep well when snuggled under blankets and whatnot.
What about you, Ramos? Do you like sleeping in the cold? Do you like...
I like the window. Like, Suzanne does not, but I like to have the window open at night to let the little cool air in the room. We have to be careful, though, because the baby's still in the room, Jonah, so you don't want him to get too cold at night. So, yeah, I got to maybe halfway we might open it for a little bit.
By, are you a cold room sleeper, a 70-degree room sleeper? Do you like it warm?
Cool.
What's your,
yeah. 68, 70, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, because last night it was cool and crisp outside, and it was cold in my house, and I was like a bear. I don't know anything that happened after that football game was over. I watched a little bit of hoops, college hoops was on, and then I was just completely comatose until this morning, and I've had a tough time waking up. But I'm up here for you. I'm grinding. That's what you when you didn't get your 8 hours, but you got 6.5 strong. That's suburban grit right there. That's like playing. Playing golf with a head cold. Matt Nagy was, there's this report from patch.com. Like, I don't know how do you follow your patch? Like, I know where you live, Byer, I'm not giving it away, but there is a patch for everybody's community. Do you guys have that patch?
No, we don't.
Okay, so patch, you can do it as an app. I'm not like promoting it or whatever, but some of it is, you know, it's not like Nextdoor where it's like any neighbor can hop on and just go like, my dog is missing, or my cat was eaten by a coyote, or what is that smell? Why are the police sirens going? Somebody parked in front of my house. You know, like those things. Patch is like it wants to be a local newspaper, aggregates all these different stories. And apparently there's some report that Matt Nagy will be let go after Thanksgiving. That would be the first and only coaching firing reported by Patch.com. Here's Matt Nagy when he's asked about it today.
That is not accurate. You know, I have not, you know, I have great communication with ownership, with George and Ted and Ryan, but I have not had any discussions. We have not talked this week, and that was scheduled. You know, that's been we have a good schedule over the years where we have discussions. Like you guys always hear us talk about, you know, we have constant communication with the bye week and then with the short turnaround with game prep. We have not.
Do you have assurance that you'll coach the rest of the season, man?
Say that again.
Do you have assurance that you'll coach?
Again, my focus right now is on these players and on Detroit. That's it.
So are we going to read into that he has no assurance? Like, I'm not sure you need an assurance that you're going to coach the rest of the season. I think that's a little bit of a given. Now, the next time he talks to them, I'm sure that question is going to be asked. Byer, what do you think? Are you buying what Nagy is selling?
Yes. I don't know how you could tell a coach this is your swan song and we're going to let you go. Like, will he be fired Friday morning? Maybe. But I just don't think that there was ever a conversation that, you know, said, all right, you've got three more days in preparation for the Lions. Also start packing up your office. I don't think that's how things get done.
I don't think so either. I really don't. I really, really don't. What do you think, Jay Stu?
I think he answered the question, I guess. The report was that he's been told, right, Dan, that he's been told that after Thanksgiving he's going to be fired. And he denied that part. He didn't necessarily deny that he's going to lose his job. In fact, he's spent a lot of words telling us that he really doesn't know, that he's concentrating on the Lions. So he might be parsing his words there.
Adam Kaplan joins us. He's our Fox Sports Radio NFL insider. What have you heard in regards to Matt Nagy's status?
Look, it's going to be hard for him to return, Doug. They were expecting to be better than they were last year. They got in the playoffs, but they kind of backed in at 8-8, and they were definitely expecting to be better. Now, the Bears will tell you, as they've told me, they're a little bit older on defense. They've had a bunch of injuries. Khalil Mack, unfortunately, is not going to return the season. Keem Hicks, their star defensive tackle, has had a lot of injuries. He's in his 30s. You know, offensively, for the second straight season, and this is the problem, Matt Nagy's handed over this play calling, and he's a head coach play caller, and he's done that. I mean, one way you could say to his credit he gave it up because it wasn't working, but that's not good. It hadn't worked out. And if he's fired, I mean, in his 4 years, that he'll have made it two out of the 4 years. But the Bears simply don't fire head coaches in season. They just don't believe in doing that. I don't want to say shocked, but I'd be very surprised if he's fired before the end of the season. It doesn't look good for him. There are no signs of them turning it around, though. You know, Justin Fields won't play this week. It's going to be Andy Dalton because Fields has bruised ribs. But it just is not – they've not done well at home, which is also a problem. And a couple weeks ago when they really had to win to turn their season around against the Niners, they didn't. And that to me, based on what I'd heard, made it look like it's not going to be good for him in the end.
Yeah, I would agree. I also would agree that I told everybody I talked to somebody in the – fairly high-ranking Bears official who said there's been no talk of this, you know, and but it does. I mean, it was already the tide had already been turned against him, and this doesn't help, right? Doesn't help in any way. All right, what about the Giants? They've already fired Jason Garrett today.
Yep.
Who is the next one? Like, you have Gettleman, you got Judge, and you have Daniel Jones in 1, 2, and 3. What's the order of who goes next?
Well, Gettleman obviously is the big one. If something happens, it would be with Gettleman because he picked Joe Judge. Joe Judge has now let go two coaches, his offensive coordinator in season. Last year, let his O-line coach go in season. This is a guy that Dave Gettleman thought, you know, coming from the Patriots system, would be a good hire. We'll have to see. If Gettleman's out, whether Judge keeps his job for the new general manager, but Gettleman's on the hot seat. Now, one thing I will tell you, and I could have told you 2 weeks ago that Jason Garrett would not return next year. I didn't know that he'd be fired now. No one did. But Joe Judge really did not back him at all in recent weeks, publicly when asked about him. But in the end, Daniel Jones' development, he's been inconsistent, but I could tell you that he's actually, talking to other teams about the Giants, they thought Thomas has played pretty well this season. But the problem is their overall offense is so ranked so low. With all the talent that Dave Gettleman has brought in, Kenny Galladay, $18.5 million a year, Kadarius Toney, a rookie receiver they're really excited about, and all the talent that they have. Now, they've had a lot of injuries. That's part of it. But this roster, if we're being honest here, is underachieved, and that's why Gettleman's on the hot seat. He absolutely is on the hot seat. He's clearly not a lock to return. In fact, he'll probably, if GMs are let go, he might be the first one to be let go in January.
Wow. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, let's peruse around the National Football League. What's wrong with the Cowboys? And when I say what's wrong, no one thinks the Chiefs have some great defense, and all of a sudden they couldn't, you know, they turned the football over, they couldn't protect their quarterback, they couldn't run the football. 9 points against the Chiefs isn't good enough. What's wrong with Dallas?
Yeah, so just one thing about the Chiefs. Now, the last 4 weeks, the Chiefs have not given up more than 17 points in any game. Now, some of it, Aaron Rodgers doesn't play. That's part of it against Green Bay. Jordan Love started, did not play well, was probably below average, but they got a cheap touchdown late. But the Chiefs have turned their defense around. They're going with more zone coverage, less responsibility. They're just playing with more discipline. Now, you talk about the Cowboys. Well, CeeDee Lamb, who's going to be a star in this league, who's had a great sophomore season, he unfortunately got hurt early in that game, didn't return. Remember, Amari Cooper will not play tomorrow. He's unvaccinated. So he has to miss 10 days, which means because the game is on Thanksgiving, he misses two games. Well, you take two of your top three pass options out of their passing game, it's been impactful. The Dallas Cowboys defense, by the way, Doug, one of the biggest surprises of this season. I did not see this. Dan Quinn, their defensive coordinator, has gone with – he's kind of junked his Seattle defense, like cover three defense, going with more man coverage. Nobody knew this was happening. It's kind of caught people by surprise with all the injuries they've had on their defensive line. They've been really good. I certainly give them a chance to win this week. And you look at their game at home against the Raiders. The Raiders, you and I have talked about this. They look great. First two games without John Gruden, the last two really bad. And their season's falling apart, and they're a team that probably will not make the playoffs.
Yeah, and losing Henry Ruggs is more than just the emotion of everything.
Oh, yeah.
They also lose a super talented player, right? And there's a difference. When you trade away one of your top picks or you cut one of your top picks and then you cut another one of your starting wide receivers, fastest player on your team, and then you lose your play call, and the play calling has been all up and down. That's the best thing John Gruden does. You're not going to be the same football team. And I think, you know, part of that coincides with the Chiefs' rises, who they're playing against. So it is all kind of interrelated. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Are the Niners back?
Funny, I do Power Rankings. Actually wrote about how Jimmy Garoppolo very quietly has had a good season. People, I know he's sort of a lightning rod for criticism, but he's actually played fairly well this season. He's not been the problem. They've had a lot of injuries on defense. The receiver position, Brandon Ayuk has really come on. He got off to a rough start. Talking to a Niner source about him, he kind of came in sort of entitled after his great rookie season. He just kind of coasted in training camp, and he got his snaps reduced. And he had to prove himself, and he really has. So they've turned their season around. But let's not go crazy at 6-6. Now, it's funny, and you look at who they're playing this week, and it just makes sense. They're playing a Vikings team at 5-5. That's kind of the same. That they've been up and down as the Niners have been, but the Niners are sort of righted the ship a little bit. They'll push for a wild card spot. They're not winning that division. Obviously, the NFC West. That's going to be probably the Cardinals, but. I do believe they've sort of righted the ship here because they're playing with more confidence. And Jimmy Garoppolo, man, he's playing well, and I'm glad we talked about him because I think he's much maligned for no reason. I think it's from people who have not really seen him play. We get a lot of that. We got these hot takes from a lot of people who are not watching closely, and they start making these statements without really actually watching the players. So, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo is a big reason for their turnaround lately.
Pete Carroll or or you know, you got a quarterback in a Russell Wilson, or maybe the entire front office, kind of the same question as the Giants, who's the next to go in Seattle?
This is the most interesting situation in all the reporting I've done on Seattle. I mean, if you would have asked me a month ago, I'd say there's zero chance Pete Carroll will be fired or resign. He's got a new contract. And I don't know if you're aware of this, his press conference, he's never done this before, so his post-game press conference, he was so mad. He actually ended it. He just left. He just got up and left. and was so embarrassed by it, he came back a couple minutes later and restarted and apologized. But here's the thing, and the reason why I think if Pete Carroll's back, Russell Wilson will not. We know about what happened earlier this year, and Russell Wilson's not a lot of guy puts his he's not a guy that would put his dirty laundry out there with people. But he had real issues with the play calling last year, and it was actually more about Pete Carroll's micromanaging Doug of the offense. You're seeing it this year. Their offense has been pitiful. Even before Russell Wilson got hurt, their passing game had been non-existent, or Shane Waldron, who came over. They wanted them to run more of a West Coast offense, get it out of his hands quickly. And it hasn't really happened. Then Wilson coming back from the finger surgery has not looked good. They're a bad football team, and the sad thing about it is if you talk to them, they'll tell you their defense is actually playing fairly well. It's just their offense is so bad. Something will happen. Look, one of the two will not return next season. I would put $1,000 on this. I go to Vegas. One of the two will not be back. Wilson will be traded, or Pete Carroll will not be. My sense is it would be more Russell Wilson, because he's going to want to go somewhere where they're going to throw the football. This thing has been micromanaged so badly by Pete Carroll. I have a lot of respect for him as a head coach, but it's just not working out. But I have a hard time seeing Pete Carroll leaving. I'm not saying it wouldn't be the right thing for him to leave, but just knowing the way things are there and their belief and ownership's belief in him, I think more Russell Wilson answer your question.
Wow. And where would he go?
Philly will be in line for him. I would expect. Now, we didn't get to Jalen Hurts. He's actually turned his season around for the Eagles. You and I have talked about the Eagles a lot, and it's almost hard to believe what they're doing. But the Eagles, the Broncos, who are in the market for a quarterback, they are a quarterback away from being a dominant football team. I'm telling you. Teddy Bridgewater's a good back, but he's not a starter. Yeah. Denver would be in line for Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. Carolina, obviously, will be in market for a quarterback next year, just depending on who becomes available. Because, by the way, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, you and I, in January, but this draft class, the early word I'm getting from personnel people is, even the junior class doesn't look great, and the senior class does not look super special. Now, guys will go in the first round, as they always are, at quarterback, but on paper does not look to be a great class.
Yeah, no, it's the Eagles argument. I'll tell you another team that's going to be in the market for quarterback is the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, right? Yeah, obviously, yes, because they've been on Watson. Yeah, that would be the other team, but that's the Deshaun Watson situation, where does it get cleared up or not, and that's the place where he wants to go. So it's going to be a wild. Listen, we had some wildness at the quarterback position. We'll have some wildness again in March, right when teams are allowed to trade.
Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Of course, that's the voice of Adam Kaplan, the Fox Sports Radio NFL insider. Okay, now there's Skip Bayless saying that the locker room is very close to turning on Baker. Baker's wife says that, you know, he's got unbelievable toughness now. I wish the rest of the team was that tough. That's not good. Baker doesn't do the post-game press conference, and then what he does do, he calls out fans who booed him and says those are the ones we got to make quiet when we're trying to drive the football anyway. Like, obviously rattled by how he feels like he's being treated when he's playing hurt.
Yep.
What does the organization think about Baker Mayfield?
Last year, he played really good football. They made the playoffs. He's a great story of development. He's their guy. He was their guy. They don't question his toughness. They really don't. I know they didn't get a contract done. They barely negotiated, as I understand it. They were looking for a hometown discount. They were not going to get one from his agents. So they really no real negotiations went on. I don't get the sense that they're moving on from him. It's just that they have to get through the season, see if he needs surgery or not. In fact, I would expect him to get surgery. He's two different shoulder injuries. He's got a foot and a knee injury. Just beat up physically. And by the way, it's another part of this football situation. Same with the Titans. The Browns are really beat up physically. They have a pretty deep roster. Andrew Bear, the GM, has done a really good job of building it. But they're really beat up physically. And by the way, the Titans are super beat up. I don't think people have any idea how the Titans, who play the Patriots this week in Foxborough, they're super beat up.
Speaking of the Patriots, is this thing real? Like, are they
it
really?
Is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it was, Doug. I'll be honest with you. I'll raise my hand. I was not a believer when they were 1-4. They were actually not winning at home. They were winning on the road. They're still undefeated on the road. They're 5-0 on the road, which is bizarre to me. And the other thing is, you know, the teams now are so comfortable on the road. Up to last week, the home teams had a losing record overall, which is ridiculous. So right now, Doug, I do, because their defense is dominant. They're really healthy on that side of the football. Mac Jones is not turning it over. He's efficient. He's not playing like super elite football, but he's playing good by rookie standards. They run the ball well enough. Their offensive line's terrific. Now, at some point, though, when the schedule gets tougher down the stretch, and particularly in the playoffs, there'll be a playoff team, I want to see what happens with Mac Jones. I had a GM tell me the reason why his team had a second-round grade on him. Really question his arm strength when the weather gets colder in December, particularly at Foxborough. Let's see what happens with him. That's when you're really going to know how good he is.
All right, I'm going to give you an expression that when you watch Mac Jones, I think you'll be able to use, and I think you'll nod your head. You ready for it?
Do it.
You know how you play golf?
I do. I'm better at tennis, but keep going.
Okay, you know how people tell you to just make a die at the hole. Make a die at the hole.
Yeah. Right? Yes. Yes.
That's
yes.
What his ball does. Like his ball. He, you're like, oh, is it going to get there? And
just
it gets there.
Right.
But it dies at the hole. Right.
Right.
It dies at the hole.
And that's what you're going to see. I mean, Doug, that's the thing now. The winds get swirling in Foxborough, and plus they're going to have some games on the East Coast, and we'll see. I mean, it's been a good story. He's definitely a little bit ahead of where I thought he would be. And I think, and just like I learned with Patrick Mahomes, that was the one quarterback that every team missed on, obviously, except for the Chiefs. The Seahawks, by the way, loved him. But most teams did not think favorably of Patrick Mahomes, and they will tell you that. The guys who are willing to be honest would tell you they completely missed on Patrick Mahomes. I think the league learned a lot about guys like Mahomes. It certainly changed scouting a little bit at the quarterback position.
You're the best, man. I appreciate you joining us. It's Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio NFL Insider. Thanks for joining us. TracFone Wireless gives you control of your wireless plan. No contract, unlimited talk and text, smartphone plan starting at just $20 a month. Plus, you get unlimited carryover data, so you keep what you don't use. All in America's largest and most dependable networks. Coming up next, I'll tell you who I think the three best teams in the NFC are. Next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we turn the show over to Dan Byer and play a game.
Game time. This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
What do you got, Dan?
Doug, the game today is
Rank 'em.
All right. Rank 'em is brought to you by Bet Rivers. Check out the latest lines from World of Sports at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. Must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rank the three best teams in the NFC, Doug.
Okay. I'm going to go Niners 3.
Oh, okay.
Buccaneers 2, Packers 1.
All right, no Cowboys, no Rams, or the Lambs as he called them yesterday. Doug ranked the three best teams in the AFC.
Patriots 3, Bills 2, Chiefs 1.
AFC North gets blanked in that one. All right, Doug, rank your top four in the college football playoff if you had to make the decision that the committee is going to make tonight.
Okay. Number one would be Georgia. That's super easy. Number two, I mean, I'll just put Ohio State, whatever. Number three, I put Alabama. And number four, I would put Oklahoma State.
Cowboys.
And then the winner of, if Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma, but they got to beat them twice, I think. I don't know if they play, but it depends on the score. They got to beat them twice. And then, you know, Ohio State, if they lose to Michigan, then Michigan would. I don't think Cincinnati is among those top four teams.
All right, Doug, rank your three favorite months for college basketball. And I bring this up.
I know why you bring it up. Go ahead.
Just because tonight you have 1-2. You have a great 1-2 matchup. And we always talk about March Madness. But what are the best months for college basketball?
Well, Feast Week is great. So I'll go November 3rd, November, April, then March.
April.
March is the best. April is when the championship's decided, but the meat of what everything makes everything special is actually March.
Yeah, I think December is kind of a blah month a little bit in college hoops because you usually conference play isn't started or it's very early. And
it is. Actually, some of them start now next week before the students go away. Some is, I hate the Big 12 does it while the students are gone in the middle, early January. But yeah, it's a weird time.
All right, Doug. And, of course, it's Thanksgiving week. We want you to rank the, and I'm counting at five, because that Wednesday after work will also, if you have to work on Wednesday, what are the five best days of Thanksgiving vacation? So you'd have the Wednesday through Sunday. How would you rank each of those days?
It's a great question. Saturday is the best day. Saturday is the best day. Thursday is the second best day. So, and then I would say Friday. So if we're going 3-2-1, Friday, Thursday, Saturday.
Okay.
Do you want to hear logic?
Yeah. And I'd also love to hear 4 and 5, but go ahead.
4 and 5? Okay. Sunday would be 4, and then Wednesday would be 5.
Okay. And the logic?
Wednesday's, well, okay. I mean, Wednesday and Friday, you have if you're going anywhere, it's terrible to go somewhere,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
Thursday's better because of the food, and Thanksgiving is awesome, but the sports that's on TV is peak on Saturday because you have all the rivalry college football games.
Yeah.
And it's still like 2 days removed. You can still have all of the desserts and some of the leftovers.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Also, I got a PSA for you on Turkey Bowl football, which so many people, I'll share that with you. But coming up next, Baker Mayfield doesn't like the way he's being treated by the fans. We'll get into it next.